This week on Multiverse News, the Ahsoka series gets a possible release date, the Disney Plus Purge, and we have a trio of trailers. All of that coming up right after this. Welcome to Multiverse News, your source for information about all your favorite fictional universes. My name's J. Scotty St. Clair, and we've got with us a wonderful panel today. We've got, from Source Pages, the hallowed Haley Hobbs. What's happening, Haley?
Feeling very hallowed. I don't know. I'm feeling good, actually.
Good. Glad to hear it. And we've got the Multiverse News contributor, the only Multiverse News contributor with perfect attendance so far, Mr. Jay Sisson of Commute the Podcast fame. What's happening, Jay?
Hey, I'll have you know that I had perfect attendance all the way through middle school. My mom did not let me miss. We're talking 6th, 7th, and 8th. All right, so.
Ooh, right on.
You still have a medal from that time?
I still got it. No. Did they even give me anything? I don't know. I don't even think they gave me anything.
You probably got a sticker. We'll send you a sticker, too.
It's all about that sense of accomplishment,
though. Right. I mean, it obviously means something because I'm talking about it right now and it happened like 25 years ago or something.
That's the millennial way.
Yeah. Old habits die hard. We're happy to have you be such a solid stanchion in this this show. So
hey, somebody's gotta be the foundation.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's
for sure.
You.
Well, before we get into the nitty gritty of the news this week, I did want to point out that today, at the time of this recording, May 23rd, it is officially Max Day. HBO Max has become Max. So as we continue to talk, yeah, exactly, right?
I will not change my feelings on this.
No, I'm there with you. I was actually talking to a friend about it. And like, I think the consensus is that this is just a pretty terrible move, but it's here for now. So.
As somebody who really likes purple, just the color purple, very disappointed by the blue. That's, you know, I know that doesn't matter too much in the grand scheme of things, but give me that purple background. Where'd it go? That was the best thing that Max, or I'm even saying it wrong. I'm saying it Max now, that HBO Max had going.
They
for
got
it.
You already, Jay.
Like the yeah. app would be crashing constantly and not letting me log in, and I'd be mad, but I'd be like, but that purple, that's pretty nice.
It's a very soothing purple, yes.
I mean, they made it as generic as they possibly could.
Yeah. I like blue, but it's a very like corporate blue. Like I feel like it's the same blue from like the Salesforce logo. Like, what are we doing here?
What a dig.
Yeah, but all that being said, as we go forward on this show and talk about the news from that streaming service, you know, we just talked about old habits dying hard, but we will do our best. Some of us, I should say, will do our best to call the streaming service by its proper name now.
Not me.
You can always call it the streaming service formerly known as HBO Max.
There you go. This is America still, I believe.
All right. Well, let's get into the news. So first up here we have, according to a now-deleted Disney Movies Insider post, the release date for the Star Wars Ahsoka Disney Plus series has been revealed to be August 31st. This is in line with reports coming out of last month's Star Wars Celebration that the 8-episode limited series would be premiering sometime in late summer. It's not all happy news for the series, unfortunately, as veteran sci-fi actor Ray Stevenson, who portrays turncoat Jedi Baylan Skoll, passed away this weekend at the age of 58 while shooting a film in Italy. Does this release window for the highly anticipated series make sense to us? And how do we respond to losing such a talent at such a young age?
It was kind of devastating to hear the news about Ray Stevenson yesterday because he's such a fixture in the nerdverse and in the geek world, and we're going to miss him. I mean, we were already missing him in Marvel, I think, from his very quick and untimely demise in Thor Ragnarok, which is probably definitely like the only thing about that movie I don't really love. But I was really looking forward to this character he's playing in Ahsoka, which I think could be a riff off of a character from Heir to the Empire. I don't know that for sure, but it could be. And so anyway, it's going to be really bittersweet. This is a show I'm super looking forward to, and now we're going to be moving forward missing one of these main characters. So lots of condolences to his family and friends, but That being said, I think August 31st is a Thursday, which is kind of strange. Okay. Double check me on that. But I think I saw that it's a Thursday. And so it's like, is this really the date or is this a placeholder?
It is a Thursday.
For whatever reason.
It is a Thursday.
So kind of a departure because they've been doing Wednesdays for Star Wars.
Mm.
Yeah, this should match up with the Marvel layout too. I think Secret Invasion's like late June, so it'll probably be wrapping up by the time this starts. And then Loki is supposed to be early October, so
right. This
should be kind of sort of wrapping up whenever that happens. So I think you're probably not going to have a whole lot of lag time between Secret Invasion and then Ahsoka and then Loki, which I think does make sense. I don't love the idea of the Marvel and Star Wars shows running concurrently in the week.
Sure.
I think it bogs down both shows. I think you saw that with, I'm trying to think which ones were on at the same time. I feel like Ms. Marvel.
Obi-Wan and Ms. Marvel.
Yeah. I feel like both those shows got weighed down a little bit by that. And people struggled to keep up with both in real time and talk about them in real time. So I think that does make sense to space those out a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree. The Thursday release, like I had not picked up on the fact that August 31st is a Thursday, but I think that is interesting. It seems like Disney Plus is more and more willing to experiment with their release schedules here. Like we've seen the Marvel series kind of fluctuate between a Friday release moving towards a Wednesday release, but typically the Star Wars series have been pretty cemented in their Wednesday releases here. So that with the news that we got last week about Echo being released all at once, I think, yeah, it just speaks to Disney Plus specifically wanting to try new things and see if they can, you know, increase the viewership and maybe the conversation and the staying power of some of these series. And thinking back, I believe the Andor series, which was one of my favorite Disney Plus series and favorite Star Wars series that's come out, I think it came out right around the same time. It feels like it was late August into September, wrapping up sometime in October, if I'm not mistaken, maybe closer to November. But all that being said, yeah, the Ray Stevenson news is absolutely shocking. He's so young, 58 years old, and he looked like he was in good shape to me. So it's just one of those things. You really have to appreciate these people and everything they give to the roles. Because yeah, Volstagg, I agree with you, Haley. I think he kind of went out on a bum note. I like Ragnarok apart from that, but he was the most memorable member of the Warriors 3 for me. Mm-hmm. So we'll just have to cherish this final performance that we get from him in terms of, you know, big budget blockbuster franchises, because I believe the film that he was filming in Italy will probably be his final role when that comes out. But this is the one that most people will probably see him in.
Yep.
All right. You know, speaking of Disney Plus and them experimenting, let's talk about the Disney Purge here. So, yeah.
It's the Purge, Disney style. Disney's getting a hold of everything, even the Purge.
The Purge, yes. Coming this fall on Disney Plus. It'll be just like a new weekly episode of The Purge. Like we don't need more of this. It's fine, we get it.
So Disney has started removing dozens of series, specials, and direct-to-streaming movies from both Disney Plus and Hulu. The move, which was announced during the May 10th Disney earnings call, is part of an effort to cut costs and refocus content curation to maximize profitability. The list is extensive, but a notable standout is Willow, which finished its season in January and has not been available for a full 6 months. The Willow series, along with many others on the list, were never released to physical media and are essentially lost to the void. Early backlash from the announced purge has already saved a few titles, including the documentary Howard and Marvel series Empower and Marvel's Voices Rising, The Music of Wakanda Forever. As fans, losing access to content is never ideal, but what do we really think about this unprecedented strategy? Bold and necessary, or just plain butt-headed?
People are really mad about this, which I did not expect. Whenever this list hit the internet, I read through it and noticed a couple things that stood out. You mentioned Willow. Mm-hmm. Also, there's a show on Hulu that's pretty popular called Dollface. It was cut to, I think, Kat Dennings is the star of that show.
Yeah.
The World According to Jeff Goldblum, which is like a National Geographic show. That one stood out to me too. But people really came to the defense of a lot of these shows, and specifically Willow, and not just the fans, but the creators of these shows were very vocal on Twitter about, we feel like we were never given a chance. This was only up for 6 months and now it's going to be taken off, and we're not giving this content time to grow on people and evolve and have a second life past its release. And they have a point. I mean, to bring people in and suck people into a show and then cut it off, I mean, we've all been there before. It's never ideal. But this is something that I think Disney will probably just push forward with. I don't think these shows were incredibly popular on deep levels. And as you're seeing these content mergers happen, there does have to kind of be a clearing of space. As unfortunate as it is, there does have to be some clearing of space that happens. But we're seeing it happen with, we've already talked about it with Max. It's happening with Paramount as well. Paramount and Showtime are merging together and bringing their content. So you're starting to see all of these things happen at the same time. It's kind of like, I don't know if you guys ever played like Pokemon as a kid, but you know, you get that Pokemon to a certain level and then they level up, like all of a sudden they just be like, boom, and they'd have like more abilities and more, like, I feel like we're watching all these streaming services just level up, you know, it's just like more content, name change, rebrand, like, but they all have to do it at the same time. And you're seeing kind of just this, the streaming wars are getting to this point where you're only going to survive if you can just collect and collect and collect and then build on these IPs. And you're seeing Amazon do it, making the big play for Lord of the Rings. You're seeing Netflix. They made a play for like Chronicles of Narnia. You saw WB doing it with Harry Potter series. I mean, this is the move now. You're trying to suck in these different groups of people into these big IPs and then combine everything in your catalog together and then sell somebody a package, throw some ads on it, and then that's how you're going to compete in this new world that we're in.
I guess I wonder, why do we have to purge content? Like, aren't we in 2023? Isn't everything on the cloud? Like, I don't really understand the strategy behind deleting content from your streaming service when some people really loved the Willow continuation, I think is what we would want to call it, probably. I've never seen the movie, so like it's not something I care about, but it's not taking up space on my Disney Plus account. So I guess I don't understand why they feel the need to do these kinds of things.
Yeah, I think a lot of it comes down to like residuals and it comes down to the money that you have to pay in the contract. It is money.
Asking such an innocent little question.
And the unfortunate thing is that Disney knows it's not going to make another season of this show. And so they're kind of looking at it as like, you know, people who paid us for Disney Plus to see Willow, they've done that. They've given us the money to see Willow. We're not going to keep these people around for more Willow, and they're not going to stick around to keep watching it again. So there's just kind of that idea of like, if we have to cut these fans out, we're doing something that would have had to happen anyway, because the show will not continue, which is a sad answer, but that's just
it is.
You know, I didn't watch that show, but I've been there before of being invested in a show and then having it canceled and taken away. But I think we've all been there, but I think that's kind of the answer, is it's just, they're looking at it from a money standpoint and they're saying, we've kind of squeezed everything out of the Willow fans that we can get out. And there's no reason to keep it here if those fans are ultimately not going to stick around, because there's not going to be a season two for them to stick around for.
Well, and to not release it physically, like we said in the bit, it's like, now those people don't even get to own it on Blu-ray or whatever. Yeah. I think VHS might eventually come back at this point. I have no idea. You know, that's like you said, that's such a disservice to the creators. It's kind of like when people want to boycott a property because maybe the main actor did some very questionable things. And it's like, well, yeah, I get what you're saying, but other people worked on that project too. And it's just as important to them as anybody else. So now I'm really depressed.
Yeah, it is sad. And I think it's sad for everybody involved. It's sad for the fans. It's sad for the actors. And it's sad for the creators, especially like, yeah, the fact that these series are essentially lost. Like, we have no way of viewing them now. And as far as Disney goes, like, Jay, I like what you brought up about the fact that like Disney is not the first one to do this. I think Netflix has been doing it as well. But that's, you know, Disney is kind of the biggest kid on the playground, so they're always going to have the most eyeballs on them, for better or for worse. So when they make a move like this, it makes a lot more waves. But yeah, it was part of the HBO and Discovery merger as well. They took some of their stuff off their streaming platforms as well. And I think it is like a new, you referred to the Pokemon evolutions, and I think it is kind of just that. We're in like a new era of streaming. Initially, I think, you know, the power was kind of in the fans and the creators' hands. And now these streaming services, now that they've gotten, you know, so many people to buy in and subscribe to their services, they're taking back some of that power. And it does, you know, this is all creative stuff, and we love it and enjoy it, but it does at the end of the day boil back down to money and the business there. And coming to that realization kind of reminds me a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about the Little Mermaid live action reboot. Like, why do they keep doing these things? They always get like lackluster results. And it was like, oh yeah, money. That's always the answer.
We're just too pure-hearted for this industry. That's what this is.
There's somebody like already at Disney that's, they're in the boardroom and they've calculated, this is how much it will cost to make a remake of The Little Mermaid, and this is how much we will make from it, almost to the dollar.
Sure.
This number's bigger than this number, so we're going to make it.
Yeah. Well, as The Little Mermaid comes up, we mentioned that, you know, several of the series that were announced, like once they saw the backlash, they were like, okay, that no, that documentary is not going anywhere. That documentary, Howard, I believe, I can't remember the gentleman's full name, Haley, maybe you know, but he's a songwriter for Disney, and he wrote many of the songs.
Ashman?
Yes. So,
I loved that documentary. Okay, now I'm mad.
Okay. Well, no, it's staying.
It's an amazing documentary about an amazing person.
Yeah, so it's not going anywhere. But.
Okay, good.
Okay.
She was about to get on Twitter. Howard Ashman wrote
Little Shop of Horrors for people who...
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yes.
Nice.
Haley was about to get on Twitter and start adding Disney. And like,
I should. I'm not.
Boycott
I'm not
Disney
angry
Plus.
On Twitter. I'm not a good Twitter user.
Twitter is the wild west of social media. So
I do the bare minimum over there.
All right. Well, moving on, we've got some box office news. So, Fast X crossed the finish line in first place at the box office this weekend with a reported haul of $67 million domestically. This was enough to overtake reigning champ Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 in its third weekend. Vin Diesel also confirmed that a spinoff film is currently in development with an all-female-led cast. Do these performances indicate our first couple of summer blockbusters still have some gas left in the tank, or will they be left in the dust as the competition heats up?
A lot of the conversation around Fast and the Furious this time around has been, is this franchise critic-proof at this point? And I think the answer to that question is yes, it is critic-proof at this point. Sure. Because critics are giving it to this movie. They're like, the action's ridiculous, the actors are terrible, Vin Diesel is so bad. But like, the fans of this franchise love these things about it. So it's gotta be like maddening for people who hated this movie to watch it cross not just $67 million domestically. It crossed $250-300 million, somewhere around in there, worldwide. So, I mean, it's rolling right now, and it's going to keep doing it. And, you know, it's a franchise that it knows what it is. It's extremely self-aware. It knows how ridiculous it is. Even if you don't watch it, you could watch the trailer and you see them like, the car chases aren't even car chases anymore. There's always tanks and helicopters and like submarines and nuclear warheads and everything going on, but they know that that's what they are, and they embrace it and they lean into it. So I'm not a big Fast and the Furious guy, but I do understand the appeal of just like fun action, cheesy, just I know what it is and I'm going to sit here and watch it and watch things blow up and have a good time. I get the appeal of that on some level. So I think fans of this franchise, they are loving this movie. It doesn't matter what anyone else says. And that's why there's going to continue to be more. And I can't believe they're still squeezing a part two out of this. And I think this cast has got to be like so done with this and just ready to be done with it at this point. Unless
but
you're Vin
money.
Diesel. Vin Diesel's like, give me all the Fast and the Furious movies. But this cast has got to just be like, let's wrap this thing up. Let's get this done. But
now,
I mean,
did you see the Michelle Rodriguez clip where she was like, they keep making Marvel movies, that franchise is tired? And I'm like, man,
whatever. This Fast and the Furious movie was like Avengers Infinity War for the Fast and the Furious franchise. Like, get out of here with that.
I know.
Yeah. The fact that that first film was like a Point Break like riff, and now we are like comparing these movies to like the Avengers movies is pretty crazy. But Jay, like you, I am not much of a Fast and Furious guy. I don't think I had seen any of these since like Fast Five, but the word of mouth was strong enough. The marketing did something, because I found myself on Friday night. It was like, you know what? I'm going to go check it out. And was I satisfied intellectually? No, I was not. But I was entertained. I was totally able to turn my brain off and just, you know, I didn't have popcorn, but I might as well have been stuffing popcorn in my face, looking at all the pretty lights and the loud sounds. And yes, Vin Diesel is entirely wooden, but it, you know, it was a good time in the theater. And I will say Jason Momoa, seeing him act against type was quite a delight. So in terms of the overall success and what kind of legs this movie is going to have, it's, you know, it's just the first weekend here, so we'll really have to see how it plays out. But I do think we're seeing a trend here where not just the Marvel movies, but movies in general have really strong opening weekends, and then that's kind of where you can gauge where the diehard interest was, especially considering that like this time next week The Little Mermaid will be out, and I feel like that's it's like counter programming, but also not. Like, I feel like that might attract like a similar audience. Like, it's going to attract families that just, you know, want to embrace nostalgia and just kind of relive their childhood there. So I do think the all-female led cast is interesting. Yeah, we'll have to see how that shakes out. That's all I got.
Moving on.
One of my favorite pieces of like entertainment trivia is that Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Jason Statham, and Vin Diesel are all contractually obligated to never lose any fights in their movies, right, that they're in. Like, that's an amazing piece of information, and you can see it in these Fast and the Furious movies. Like, Vin Diesel's just like, he's bulletproof. Like, he cannot die, he cannot be hurt, and they have to write the story around this idea that he cannot lose fights, which I think is just absolutely incredible.
It's incredible and ridiculous, and I hope that doesn't like give us any indication to their future, because that reminds me a lot of Steven Seagal. Like, he's been on record, like, he's had characters that died in past movies, but when he gets interviewed about it, he's like, no, they didn't die. They made it out, and here's how they made it out. So I hope we don't have a whole generation of like future Steven Seagals in the work here.
Sounds like a complex to me.
That it does. All right. So let's talk about some trailers now. We had three high profile trailers released this week. The first of which was a teaser trailer for the upcoming sci-fi film, The Creator. Coming to us from Rogue One and the 2014 Godzilla director, Gareth Edwards, the film stars John David Washington and tells the story of a future humanity at war with artificial intelligence that is bent on destroying human life. The film will debut on September 29th. Yeah. This is one of those ones that the concept drew me in for sure. I thought it looked pretty interesting, but it's the talent both in front of and behind the camera that really solidifies it as one that I'm going to be pretty determined to catch when it comes out in theaters. I think Gareth Edwards, I think Rogue One kind of gotten, you know, taken away from him a little bit with Tony Gilroy kind of stepping into shadow direct, but that was when Star Wars was, Star Wars is still in an interesting place in terms of the freedom that they give their filmmakers, but it was definitely untreaded ground at that time. But I really enjoyed his 2014 Godzilla, and I think John David Washington is like one of the best leading men out there. And we've talked a lot about artificial intelligence on this show already, but it's always been a strong motivator for storytelling. And you know, this one seems to have an interesting take on it, so I will certainly be looking forward to it.
If you weren't anxious about artificial intelligence before, let's make a movie about the destruction of mankind at the hands of artificial intelligence. Yeah, I mean, it won't be anxiety-inducing at all.
And after releasing a teaser that debuted a full year ago with Top Gun Maverick, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 has dropped its official first trailer. The first part of the two-part film series will hit theaters on July 12th.
I just love Tom Cruise, man. Like, this trailer is so awesome. The scene of him like launching off the mountain, off the motorcycle, like it doesn't get much better than that. When you're going to the theater, just give me that all day. I mean, sign me up for this movie, sign me up for part two. Like, I'm all in. I'll be there opening night.
Inject it into our veins.
Can't wait. Cannot wait.
As
We'll
we're
wrap
like
it up.
making fun of the Fast and Furious movies, we're like, Tom Cruise going off on a motorcycle, though, that's totally
Yeah,
plausible.
there's like a
Okay.
Fast and the Furious fan listening to this right now, and they're like, hypocrites,
Yeah.
hypocrites. You want to watch
They're
Mission
aware.
Impossible, but not Fast and the Furious? Hey, it's a, you like what you like, okay? I'm not trashing anything.
All right, and rounding out the trio of trailers, Paramount Films and Apple TV Plus have debuted the first trailer for Martin Scorsese's Killers of the Flower Moon. The film, which stars Leonardo DiCaprio, Robert De Niro, Jesse Plemons, Lily Gladstone, and Brendan Fraser, will premiere in theaters on October 6th and will be distributed during an unspecified streaming release on Apple TV Plus as well.
I'm so glad they're putting this movie in theaters because at first it was just going to be an Apple release and I was really depressed because I don't have Apple Plus. And I was like, I'm gonna have to get it for this fucking movie. Because so this movie is based on a book written by David Grann, and if I had my copy of it, I'd hold it up, but my dad's reading it right now. he's like a true crime, kind of true history writer, and this all happened about 2.5, 3 hours south of where I live.
Oh,
And it is
wow.
one of the most horrific things I think I've ever heard of in my life. And so this is going to be a long one, you guys. It's going to be almost 4 hours long. And I think that's cool because I think they're really going to do justice to the story of what happened to the Osage Indian people in Oklahoma when they were the richest people per capita in this country.
Yes, sidebar, Apple TV Plus is worth it alone if you check out Severance. Highly recommend that series.
That looks like something that'll give me nightmares.
It's not that bad. The intro is unsettling.
Yeah, Ted Lasso too, if you if you're looking for Apple TV
Okay, I
Plus.
have this
I see
like
you
bone
rolling
to
your
pick with Ted
eyes.
Lasso because he's supposed to be from Wichita, which is where I live. Okay.
All right.
And he was like the Wichita State football team coach, and Wichita State hasn't had a football team since the 80s because of a tragedy that happened in the late 70s with the whole like whole team died. So
no.
we watched one episode of it and I was like, I don't like this. I have this stupid bias about it.
That's
Moving on.
fair. All right. This is the point of the show where we hear from the people. We've got our Spotify poll update. So, what do you have for us, Jay?
So, this was actually our most voted in ever Spotify poll in a week. So, you all are stepping up to the plate in the Spotify poll. So, keep doing that because it makes it more interesting. This one, the question was, how would you like Marvel to release Echo? We talked about this a little bit last week. I think Matt and Haley and I all kind of were team weekly sort of by the end of it. There were 54 votes. Weekly won with 56%, and All at Once was at 44%. So, tight race, but seems like the audience kind of agreed with what we were saying. By kind of a narrow margin, but
I was going to say, I think that might be the closest poll we've had so far, if I'm not mistaken.
yeah.
That's interesting. I keep seeing a lot of people talking about it and just kind of there's like a worry about it that, okay, well, why are we doing this? Is it because this character is not super well known? Does that mean they don't have a lot of confidence in it? And I think it's really just I think it's a little bit that, but I think it's a lot of them experimenting.
Yeah, the optics on it aren't great that it's like a disabled Native American character that we're trying this with first. I kind of agree with you. I think it's coming more from an experimentation standpoint rather than like having a lack of confidence. But maybe there's something I'm not, seeing there. All right. It is time now for the lightning round, the part of the show where we go through a list of news stories that we didn't have time to cover as main topics here. And the way this round works is that I will read the topic and we will buzz in with our names if we want to talk about it. And everyone is afforded one rebuttal. So we have one opportunity to reply someone's response to one of these stories. So save it for something you're passionate about. First up on the docket, Chiwetel Ejiofor, who played Baron Mordo in Doctor Strange, has closed a deal to star opposite Tom Hardy in Venom 3. Scotty, why? Why would you do this?
There's a theme, money. It's all about the money.
Yeah, I feel like Chiwetel Ejiofor is just such a talent. And, you know, the Venom franchise has garnered a lot of talent, surprisingly to me, because, like, I'll give it, the first movie was dumb fun. Like, I could rock with that again. Turn my brain off, just have some fun with it. It's kind of a movie that's so bad it's fun. The second movie, I could not give that excuse to. Like, Andy Serkis, I love you, but that movie was not for me. So, Chiwetel, I would encourage you, just keep yourself available for another Baron Mordo appearance, because I would much prefer that rather than seeing you, you know, taint yourself with Venom.
So we've made Fast and the Furious fans mad, and now we've made Venom fans mad.
That's who's what we're next? Here for. All right. Eddie Murphy is in final talks to play Inspector Clouseau in an upcoming reboot of Pink Panther, described as a live-action CGI hybrid buddy cop film.
Haley, what? Why? Again.
Money.
Okay, listen. They haven't done good Pink Panther since, like, the original, and so maybe we just need to stop.
Okay.
I mean, I love Eddie Murphy, but...
Maybe this is the one.
Why?
Let's give it another try.
A new trailer officially announced the revival of beloved sci-fi animated series Futurama is set to debut on Hulu on July 24th. Scotty, this is a revival I have been anticipating for a long time. As soon as we got, like, the slightest of rumblings that this could be a possibility, and John DiMaggio, the voice of Bender, was on the fence, and they were able to navigate those compensation disputes that were there, and thankfully he's able to join the series. But yeah, I was a little worried with the writer's strike going on, knowing that the writers for Futurama are actually in the WGA rather than the Animation Guild, like a lot of animation writers are. But it was, you know, it was a sigh of relief to know that we finally have a release date for this thing. And the teaser was absolutely wonderful. As a diehard Futurama fan, I saw so many background characters that I recognize and am looking forward to seeing again. So July 24th, can't get here soon enough, and looking forward to the weeks ahead after that.
Yeah, I'm going to use my rebuttal to say that I've always been curious about Futurama, but I've never watched it. But I think this revival is going to push me into starting it from the beginning and trying to go through and watch it for the first time. And I like what Hulu's doing here. They're reviving Futurama, which has a huge fan base. They're also reviving King of the Hill, which is coming back together for a kind of a time jump into the future. That we don't have a release date on that yet, but I love that idea of taking these, like, beloved animated shows and just kickstarting them again. I think it's brilliant.
Big fan of King of the Hill as well, so likewise, I'm looking forward to the return of that one.
Yeah.
Now for the rumor mill, we got MCU rumors. Industry insiders are reporting that Jeff Loveness, who wrote Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania and was in line to write Avengers Kang Dynasty, is no longer writing the film. Insiders are also reporting that Emma Stone was originally offered the role of Sue Storm in the MCU, but turned it down due to salary disputes. Neither of these reports have been confirmed by anyone attached to Marvel Studios.
Haley, I guess, I mean, any of us could take this one, but
sure.
The Jeff Loveness news could be any manner of things. It could be the strike. It could be the Jonathan Majors issues. It could be that Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania was not super well received. I mean, it could be, yeah. It could be that they're going to reshape the future of the MCU at this point. So,
true.
You know, who knows what the issue was, or if there really was an issue, or if it was just doing business. But dang, I would have loved Emma Stone as Sue Storm. I love her so much.
She's great. All right. And Ridley Scott's upcoming Gladiator sequel continues to round out its cast. Barry Keoghan, who was attached to the film in the early phases, has exited. Mae Kalamawai, who starred as Layla in Moon Knight, among others, has also joined the cast.
Jay, I just love to throw Gladiator news in here because, you know, I'm just committed to the bit at this point, and we've been following this movie, so we might as well keep doing it. But yeah, I mean, this cast grows more interesting by the day. I mean, it's already added Pedro Pascal. I had to get a mention of him in here before we close out. But yeah,
we're,
I mean,
contractually
it's looking
obligated.
Yeah, it's in our, like, Vin Diesel's not allowed to lose a fight. We're not allowed to not mention Pedro Pascal on an episode of this on this show. But yeah, I like this cast. I think it's an interesting group, and I like to see the way it's shaping up. I hate to lose Barry Keoghan because I love him in most of his roles, and I think he was kind of slated to be like an emperor or something, like a really central character. And I feel like that just like screams kind of his pedigree. So that's disappointing, but I still like the way the cast looks.
Yeah, I'll use my rebuttal on this one. Yeah, I definitely agree with the being kind of sad by the loss of Barry Keoghan, because like you said, like I don't know what role he was up for, but he's just got that look. Like I can see him with the Roman style haircut already with like the olive leaf crown there. And yeah, he plays a great like sniveling character. We got a little bit of a look at him in the Batman as the Joker. And that was honestly one of the few times that like his portrayal there didn't land with me. But something like this sounds like it was a lot more up his alley. So I have to imagine the fact that he's exiting it just means that he has something even better in the works for us. And maybe it's that Joker role that I talked about, and maybe he'll convince me by the time it's over.
No, it's going to be like Eternals 2 or something.
Yeah. Now you're really going to piss people off, Jay.
I like Eternals, but he was definitely a highlight in terms of the core Eternals there.
Yeah.
All right. And finally, Tati Gabrielle, best known for her work in The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina and You, has joined the cast of the upcoming sequel to the 2021 film Mortal Kombat. Will play the character of Jade.
Jay, I mean, I don't think we really watch Mortal Kombat. Did you guys watch Mortal Kombat?
I saw that first film.
Yeah, I mean, I think she's a great actress. I watched You, and she's fantastic in that show. Like, she's a great actress. Okay. But yeah, I'm not super familiar with Mortal Kombat in terms of like who Jade is. But from what I understand, this is a very central character. So, I think that, I don't know. I guess if you're a fan, I think this is good news.
Sure. Yeah. I wish I knew Mortal Kombat better than I do. Toasty. I know that. Okay. All right. And that is our show. So like we always do, let's go around the horn and let the people know where else they can find all the creative stuff we are working on. Mr. Sisson, what you got?
Well, I am a co-host of Commute the Podcast, which is a weekly educational show where we run down three topics in 20 minutes and try to teach you something new, something that's kind of interesting and obscure. We didn't put out a new episode this week, but we'll be back next week. So come check out some of our old ones if you haven't spent time with us yet.
Awesome. And Haley, what you got?
Yep. I'm a co-host on Source Pages, where we read comics and novels as primers for all the geeky TV shows and movies we love. And tonight, or today, whenever you're listening to this, our Spider-Verse primer will be out. So we read 5 issues about Spider-Verse shenanigans. So many spider beings, it was hard to keep up with sometimes. So check that out, and then we'll be getting ready for The Flash pretty soon after that.
Ooh. Yes, likewise, you can find me over on Animation Deliberation, the podcast that takes action, animation, and cartoons seriously, but not too seriously. We are very excited for Across the Spider-Verse, which will be coming out soon. I think we're planning on doing some kind of rewatch of Into the Spider-Verse in preparation, so stay tuned for that. That's T-double-O in apostrophe D. I think I did that right. But anyway, I also want to give a special shout out to our co-host and fearless leader here, Matthew Carroll. He's not feeling well this week, so, you know, send him some healing thoughts and intentions and prayers if that's your thing. And he and I, well, he's, you know, the flagship show for Stranded Panda here is the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, so you can always find him over there. But he and I, and Haley as well, are going to be appearing on Bingers Assembled for the Mission Impossible coverage, but you're going to be hearing a lot of me on Bingers Assembled because you mentioned The Flash there, Haley. We're also going to team up with the guys from DC on Screen to do some rewatches of the Michael Keaton Batman movies in preparation for The Flash. So super excited for
that. Do me justice, Scotty.
Of course, I will.
Jay Scotty, you're a machine. You're on PandaVision. You're on Bingers. I mean, you're just...
Yeah,
you're the face of Stranded Panda.
I don't know about that, but yeah, that's a good note as well. The final episode of Barry, the final episode of the final season, will be debuting on Sunday, and we will cover that on PandaVision as well. So, lots happening, and thank you for listening to it. Peace.